My name is Joey.
And I'm Nathan.
This is our inaugural podcast.
The very first one.
And by the way, that music is by a local band called Speedwell Street. What is this podcast? Who are we?
Well, we're Joey and we're Nathan.
Yes. Obviously. Yeah, I guess we covered that. You're right. Globe and Crown is an independent publisher of books, comics, The Occasional Oddity. That covers all kinds of stuff like music, cards, zines, and
obviously at least one podcast.
And at least one podcast, this one. And the reason that we exist is we want to help good people tell their good stories. And I guess a little bit of background so you know who you're listening to and why this podcast exists. I've been making stuff since I was a kid, just like every kid does. I think we're born with a lot of imagination, and that's a big part of who you are as a kid. It's just kind of feeling out the world and getting lost in your own head. I remember having lots of action figures and making up stories with them and things like that. And I had one of those memo mini cassette recorders, and yeah. I would make up radio shows.
Absolutely.
I would pretend I was a DJ. I think I played some characters, and thankfully, I think those tapes are gone now, yeah. So nobody can hear them.
Had one of them up until reasonably recently, but I think you took it back, and I've never seen it again.
yeah, Nate and I met, by the way, in middle school, and we've been friends ever since. And there was a brief period of time where there were some comedy tapes from high school that exist back when, like, the Jerky Boys was a big thing.
Yeah, what's funny about this is that, you know, here we are trying to do a podcast, you know, as grown adult men in our 30s. But I remember doing this stuff even when we were, you know, 15, 16-year-old kids.
Yes.
With tape recorder and a 4-track, trying to make some stuff work and be entertaining. But there was no, I mean, we had the internet at the time, but the ability to upload things was not as universal as it is now.
Yeah, so our friends, just like in school, which in hindsight was a horrible idea to take those comedy tapes and play them in front of teachers and stuff at school, but
they seem to go over pretty well. So it's been the encouragement that we needed.
I guess, that's true.
15 years down the line that's to make true. Something else.
Yeah. So fast forward to now, and I was journaling and writing stories since the time I was a little kid, and I never really stopped, but I never did anything with them. There were a lot of times I wished, man, it would be cool if I got a book deal or if I could, you know, get something out there for the world. Because I've played in a lot of bands and stuff and do music, and none of them ever really went anywhere, but it was just so much fun to jam and things like that. And so it was kind of the same mindset with writing. And a couple years ago, we were at we were at Cap City Comedy watching Chris Hardwick. We have a habit of going to stand-up shows and having whoever the comedian is make a lot of fun of us.
Yeah, we make the mistake, or the, you know, not as much of a mistake, or whatever you want to call it, of sitting in the front row every time, paying the little extra money to sit up there right against the stage. And every time, that ends up bringing us into the show in a way that perhaps we wouldn't have wanted to be.
Yeah, Hardwick made fun of my high-five delivery. I remember that. And then
I talked about a used car commercial idea that I had for our family used car dealership, and he was just like, that's weird, and you shouldn't do that. And I didn't, so I appreciate that bit of advice, Chris.
Yeah, and he also gave me a bit of advice, because at the time, it was in the economic downturn. This was like, 6 years ago or something. And right. So I told him I wanted to be a writer, and he's like, well, do you have a keyboard? I said, yeah. And he's like, why aren't you doing it?
Yeah.
And I didn't have a good answer. And so Globe and Crown is the company I started because, like Brenda Yulin said, she's got a book called If You Want to Write. And the book, I think, is probably, it's decades old by now, at least 50 years old. But her main point is that everybody is original and has something important to say. And the reason she thought that was because God made everybody unique. And basically, one of the first things we learned about God in the Bible is that in the beginning, God created. So we have this God who we're made in his image, and he is a creator, and he likes to make things that are good. We see that very early in the Bible, and that's right. In a lot of different faith traditions.
Right.
And so we also have that in us as humans, and it gets kind of beaten out of us or scared out of us, or we just move on to other things. But I think she was right, and so I just wanted to have a way to get stories out, just like, I guess, looking back, we've been doing our whole lives in one way or another. And so thanks to that kick in the pants from Hardwick, Globe and Crown exist. And I like the indie part of it, because I mentioned I have done music earlier, and I kind of like the punk rock ethos of you can do things yourself. You don't need to go through a middleman. You can do things your way. And I like doing that. And maybe I don't have as much of a chip on my shoulder all the time as you might think of when you think of punk, but I do like validating what people have to say and getting my stories out is cool. But also, one thing I've noticed is when we've been talking about this with people in our social circles is that they're really excited, because a lot of people just need the kick in the pants that Hardwick gave me, and hopefully Globe and Crown can do that, where we can help people first understand that their stories are important and they do have something original to say, because God made it all of us unique, and therefore we all have something unique to say. And two, we can help them once they realize that they have a story to tell, then we can help them tell it.
Yeah, I think one of the things that, you know, we didn't even really think about as much when we were 15, 16-year-olds trying to accomplish this, when we're sitting there with our 4-track and our tapes and just trying to make something for our own enjoyment, is we had no idea. We couldn't have known, even though we had some, like, early rudimentary version of the internet at the time, we couldn't have known that there would be this ability with the internet to put up content without anybody having to, like, screen it or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we have immediate access to whoever it is that wants to actually open and listen to our stuff. And that's kind of terrifying in its way, because it means that there's nobody to tell you, well, this isn't any good, so don't do it. But it's also, there's nobody to tell you it's not any good, so don't do it. So you get to go out there and try and accomplish things that you would be too terrified or too, I guess... I don't know what the word I'm searching for there, but you don't have the ability of having somebody or the negative gate, the opportunity cost type deal where somebody's actually trying to keep you from printing out whatever thing that you want to do. So that's kind of a rambling way to say, it's really exciting, that we can create content and we can put it out there. And again, like Joey was saying, so many of us have, we've run into our friends, we've run into, you know, relatives that they've had this great idea for a story or for, a podcast, or they want to put out this art, but they're like, well, you know, I don't really know how I can do that. Or is it really worth it for me to go out there and do that? I'll never make money off of it. I'll never do this. Or, you know, it's not going to be a viable thing for me to do. I need to provide for my family. But it's like, no, this is something that you can do and you should do. Joey, like you said, with the story, it's like everybody has something unique and important to say. And one of the big important things that God put us here for was creating good culture in a world that desperately needs it. We have more than enough people out there that are really, really trying to put out terrible culture and don't care about the fact that, like, as easy as it is to pump out, they're just like, we're going to keep throwing it as much as we can.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, like, an internet comment section, it's not a place for constructive positivity.
Right. I mean, people love to tear things down. They love to put out stuff that's just terrible or mean or hurtful or all these other different things. But people who actually have, like, good things to say do less to actually jump out there, it seems like, because of either the negative comments or whatever else. Yeah, you get beaten down.
There's a podcast called Talking TV with Ryan and Ryan, and they were summarizing the TV show Parks and Rec, which is a comedy, but it's comedy with a big heart. And they thought the reason it connected so much with them, and maybe with other people as well, is that the central question to the show is, should I try? And the show answers that question with, yes, you should try. So whether it's something big, like a presentation at your job or something, or even if it's something that seems small, like just encouraging a friend to do whatever it is that they want to do, it's better to be a builder in life than somebody that just sits on the sidelines and with their arms crossed and tears things down.
Yeah. That's been one of the things that's been so exciting, in taking part in this, even though this is only our first podcast. We've talked to a whole bunch of different people about the different ideas behind creating their own stories and all of that, is that how inherently creative and how inherently positive, the process is to try to get this stuff out, or even just talk to people about the story ideas that they have. So much like Joey said, of the internet comment sections are just like this negative, terrible, beat down place. But actually trying to get people to, like, talk about their stories, like, they get really excited. I've seen so many people that have just been like, yeah, I've got this idea, and maybe they don't even know how to flesh that out or do something with it. But, like, the positivity that comes from it is just, it's completely different than anything that I've seen in all of my years perusing the internet and seeing how terrible it can be. So it's kind of nice to figure out, like, oh yeah, there's a way that we can use this medium to actually create something that's good. It's yeah. not all just people calling each other racial epithets. So.
Yeah. I'm in my 30s now, and my wife and I just had our first kid, and I've been thinking a lot about legacy and what kind of world I want for our son to live in, and what kind of guy I want him to be, and what kind of example I'm setting for him as a man. And I really want him to be somebody who's not afraid to try. And even though he might get flack or things like that, I want him to do the right thing and to be a good man and to throw his hat in the ring, so to speak.
Right.
And so I think all of those things kind of gel together at once. And so Globe and Crown is here, and GC Radio is one wing of that. So we can talk about things in pop culture or things that have just popped up in our own lives through that kind of lens of the idea that God has made us all unique. And he's a creator, and we're creators, and that's something that should be celebrated. And there's joy in that process, and there's that joy in discovering the side of people that maybe you have never seen before. And so I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, me as well. The cool thing about, even just having the podcast is there's so many levels of creativity that, you know, like, well, somebody can say, I'm not a writer, or I'm not somebody who can sit on front of a microphone and say anything interesting, which maybe we aren't.
Yeah, we'll find out.
We'll find out. But, I mean, so what I've seen in life and what I've seen just as I was thinking about coming here and talking about this was, whether it's been games or role-playing games, whether it's been cooking, whether it's been actually writing short stories, whether it's been doodles on napkins, like, everybody's got something. And so it's cool to be able to actually, like, inspire and encourage that and then, you know, see other people say it. And it's like, yeah, this is worthwhile. Let's get out there and jump in and do that. I know that for me in particular, most of my writing stuff, I tend to be like a wandering Ronin editor, using my katana that is, at this point disgraced to some degree because I'm a Ronin without a master.
Very specific reference, but it makes total sense.
To actually try to, help other people who have a better, writing talent. Get their stuff in a little more grammatically correct or whatever thing that it happens to be. So whether we're doing comics or short stories or a novel, getting to take part in that. But then one of the things that I feel like I can bring a lot to the table on is something like a podcast where, I'm willing to talk about anything. I'm in sales. I will tell you anything that you want to hear just about, not in a negative way. I genuinely want to figure out what people like and figure out a way to connect with them and whether that's been role-playing games, which has been my biggest part of my creative expression.
If everybody doesn't know what a role-playing game is, can you talk a little bit about what does that mean when you say role-playing game?
Yeah, so this isn't, like weird. Well, it is weird stuff kind of in a way, but it's weird in a real good way. The traditional things that people know of are like Dungeons and Dragons. That's pretty much everybody's at least heard of it. It's enough in the popular like culture zeitgeist or whatever that I think I'm using that word correctly that people know what it is. But there's been so much just as we've had independent publishers and whatnot come up here over the past several years. Of games that are completely independent in nature, that people have just kind of had an idea and they're like, how can we create kind of a rule structure around that and help people tell a story that don't have the time to sit down and create like a, this is where I'm going to start this story. Now let's tell it within this environment. So for example, one of the story games that we play, one of the role-playing games that we've played is a game called The Quiet Year. Which was essentially just a regular card deck that each one of the cards, Ace of Spades or whatever thing that it happens to be, corresponds to a specific prompt for a story. And you can lay that down and it helps a group of people, two, three, or four people, tell a story together. And what's really exciting to me about something like that is I like sitting down and writing a story by myself, but I also like reading stories and being surprised. And it's harder to surprise yourself than it is to have a group trying to tell a story together and see where that goes. So role-playing games allow me to kind of like structure a story to some degree, but then to be surprised by that same story, to see where people are taking it that I never would have expected to go. For example, in that Quiet Year game, I played with Joey and with another guy, and we were at like a Fiesta Texas type place, and all of a sudden Greg Popovich shows up and he's like leading our group of like these survivors. And it was fascinating, but I would have never imagined that on my own. And so being able to be surprised by a story is just amazing to me. And it's just such a cool part of the creative process.
And the other cool thing is that you kind of touched on, but it was you, me, and another one of your friends is somebody I just met for the first time, but we're actually physically sitting around a table and we're playing a game, but we're also kind of talking between turns and things like that and getting to know one another. And I think, we're all looking at our phones so much, and I know this has been covered in a lot of different things, but it's really nice to sit down with a group of people and just get to know one another and eat together and maybe have a adult beverage together and talk about, you know, just get to know each other over time. And one cool thing about RPGs and gaming is that a lot of times the same story will be going for a while over time, so you're getting to hang out with the same people a lot over time. So you've created this community where people are kind of indirectly walking through their lives together. So right. That opens up a lot of space just to get to know people.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, like a role-playing game or anything like that where you're combining creative processes together, you're kind of getting to see, in some extent at least, kind of what people wish that they were, at least, you know, like something that they would never do in their normal life. Some people, I have a friend that always does the right thing, and that's also what he does in real life. And and sometimes we think it's like, oh, that's kind of boring. I always know what this guy is going to do. But it's exciting because, you know, in the normal everyday life, you don't get to go and save a princess or anything like that. But in the game world, you can. And so it's kind of an escape, but it's also really exciting to see that, like, no, this guy really is who he claims to be. He really is just a good, decent person and, like, has no capacity to figuring out, like, how to lie to people effectively. But it builds community while also being this, like, cool, creative thing that's surprising and unique and different. Every time something different is happening, and we're really getting a chance to, like Joey was saying, you can walk in with strangers and leave more than just acquaintances. You actually get to leave kind of, you know, having developed some sort of rapport between each other, right. Which is cool, which is why I think, you know, collaboration and all that kind of stuff makes creative process even more interesting.
Yeah, so that kind of gets to what the heart of Globe and Crown is, which is that we think people do have a unique story to tell because God made us all unique and God's creative, and that's a thing that should be celebrated in us. So we want to foster that in people. We want people to flourish in that way. And if there's a way we can help them do it through editing or working with them to publish something or even just giving them, you know, advice on how to get their own thing done, then that's kind of what we're about. And I think that's what this podcast is going to be about, too, is that same kind of lens of celebrating things that are creative or that are popping up on our radar that we want to let people know about. Does that sound fair?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We're definitely going to be pointing people towards things that we're inspired and encouraged by. You know, we hope to be doing some of that ourselves through this. We're going to have all different kinds of things that I think are going to come up through the podcast and through, you know, the website where we'll have content and everything as well. But yeah, the idea is not just to put out stuff that we think is cool, but to hopefully encourage other people to do the same. And, you know, if we can help them do that, I think that would be, that would be really neat.
Which kind of leads into our very first actual segment, which is going to be a wrap up of, Staple, which is an independent media expo. And it takes place, I think, in a few different places, but the one in Austin just happened in early March here in 2015. So stay tuned, and then we'll talk about that.
Sounds good.
Welcome back. I'm Joey.
I'm Nathan.
And this is going to be our Staple 2015 wrap-up. Like we mentioned last segment, Staple is an independent media expo, and I think this was the 11th year that it was held in Austin. And since we're an indie company and weren't really sure what to do, we asked our local comic book store guys at Rogues Gallery. We're based in Round Rock, Texas, by the way. And Rogues Gallery has been a sponsor of Staple for a while. And they recommended that we head down there and talk to some people and see what what indie comics and indie publishing is kind of all about. So I had a chance to go down on a rainy Sunday, but everybody was super friendly and super excited to be there. And I wanted to highlight a few of the people I met that took took some time to speak with us or otherwise made some pretty cool stuff that was worth mentioning.
Sounds good.
The first one I want to mention is Andy Warner, who is kind of a big deal. Maybe you've heard of him. His stuff is featured on Slate a lot. But I bought a book of his called The Man Who Built Beirut. And apparently Andy was living in Beirut at the time that their leader was assassinated a few years ago. And so he wrote a nonfiction comic about that. And if you, by the way, links to all these people will be on our website, which is globeandcrown.com. So you don't have to furiously write things out if you're listening on a podcast. But he's written several nonfiction books as well as fiction books. So you can check out his link on our website there. Ashley R. Guillory was really cool. She is making a lot of One Direction art. And I think she's getting her master's of fine arts right now. But she also makes a book called Blockhead, which is pretty cool. Or a comic strip called Blockhead. There's a local Austin-based company called, I think, Bogus Books or Bogus Publishing. And they make several different books. And one of them is called Holly Hawks. And it's this kind of French-style, watercolor, really beautiful future noir book.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And they have a new series out, too, that's called Really Awesome Dudes in Time or Rad in Time. And it's been described as Bill and Ted meets Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So if you were a child of the 80s, that's could be right up your alley. But they spent a lot of time with me talking about the writing and collaborative process and kind of the nuts and bolts of publishing and how big your order should be and things like that. So I appreciated that with them. Kat Crenshaw or Catherine Crenshaw is on Etsy as Galactic Dust Bunnies, which is a fantastic name.
That is a phenomenal name.
She's a great artist and she makes a lot of... she told me she got a lot of her start doing Harry Potter art before the movies came out even because she kind of had in her own mind what the characters would look like. And so those were really cool. And I bought a watercolor and ink version of Nightwing that she did that was really cool. And she talked to me a lot about developing her own style. And that was really interesting because I'm an awful artist. And I'm not being modest. I'm an awful artist. I have fun with it, but
he's not very good.
I am not.
But it is usually really funny. So at least that's,
at least we have that going.
At least we have that.
But it was interesting to talk to her about how to develop a style. I talked to Rick Brooks, who is based out of, I want to say, the San Antonio area. And he does a kind of a family, is it Family Circus?
Yeah.
He's just kind of a Family Circus looking kind of styled comic strip for a lot of newspapers called Mr. Morris, who is a teacher for elementary kids. And in real life, Rick Brooks was a classroom teacher for at least 30 years, according to his website. And I think he's still teaching, but he's also doing more with that. And I bought a book from him called Action Anthology, which is pretty cool. Each issue will have a Western story, a fantasy story with like barbarian type dudes who are very action posed on the cover in a very action posy way.
Yeah, it's a lot less grim looking Conan, I guess. Conan's usually a lot grimmer looking than these guys, but they're definitely bro dudes that have big muscles and big weapons and like kind of like a butt flap or a loincloth. And that's pretty much it. Maybe some boots. They care about their feet, but the rest of their body is protected by the strength and prowess.
Yeah. Just lots of muscle. And they also, each issue will also have a sci-fi thing. And the reason that Rick is making that book is he just wanted to make things that he always liked to read. So rather than trying to appeal to a certain market or guess on marketing trends, he just wanted to make something he would like. And so I thought that was pretty cool. I picked that up. There was also a book called Weird Space, which has a gorgeous, like a sci-fi cover. And it's by a guy named Graham Gintz and Jacob. It's either Pfeiffer or Pfeiffer, but they're from New Mexico, I want to say. And this book it's so funny and it's so gorgeous looking. It's got a real, almost like a psychedelic look to some of the space stuff. You mentioned Earthworm Jim.
Yeah, it kind of one of the main characters reminds me of an Earthworm Jim look, kind of like a combination of that and like Admiral Akbar. As Joey was telling me, these guys look like they were within a couple of years of age of, you know, ourselves, and so it's like they probably have a lot of the same inspirations and life experiences that we do. But it was really, really neat. The art was incredible,
and the book itself is really funny. And it's kind of like a space swashbuckling, lighthearted book. And it's got a little bit of philosophy stuff at the end, which was pretty cool. But again, you can look at the link to that on our website, which is globeandcrown.com. But that might have been my favorite book that I bought from the tournament. We also talked to some game developers, which was pretty cool. And Babs Tarr was there and some other bigger names that do indie stuff, but also do stuff for bigger companies like DC. But I would definitely go back next year, and maybe next year we'll have some of our own stuff to sell. But it was just cool to see so many people that were kind of doing things their own way and getting out this content. And it was kind of electric. It was fun.
Yeah, so I didn't actually get to go this year. You know, just scheduling stuff didn't work out so that I could get to go. But I'm definitely planning on getting to go next year. Everything that I've heard from Randy Lander, who's the owner of Rogues, and just from Joey through his experience having gone there now this year, was that what's really exciting about something like Staple is that these are people who are trying to do stuff like we are, and they're proving that it's actually possible. I think one of the things that, you know, hearing Joey's experience actually talking to a lot of these creators that was even encouraging as well was a lot of these guys had something else that perhaps they did as their real job during the day, or not mm-hmm. real job, but the thing that they had to do to like put food on the table. But they were finding a way to put time in to actually do creative things to like bring their dreams to life. They weren't going to let little stuff like too much free time or whatever, like Netflix, keep them from making something that was great. And that was an incredible encouragement to me. And one of the biggest reasons that I want to get to go back and or get to go in the first place next year is get to see these people who are more or less just like Joey and myself, you know, workaday men and women that, you know, have other things, but they have dreams of creating content, and they're not letting their jobs or life get in the way of doing that. So it's kind of a proof of concept in a trade show that shows this kind of thing is possible. That having a dream doesn't, you know, have to just stay a dream. It can actually come into reality. And, just seeing like, even like the quality of some of the printing stuff on this, it's like, these aren't Marvel and DC guys that have like massive, printers that can get stuff accomplished, but you know, they had really, you know, quality stuff that they put out. Some of them, I know one of the books that Joey bought was literally printed on like regular paper, just like printer paper that had been cut down and stapled. But it proved that like you could be creative with a story no matter what actual materials you had to put it together.
And I paid 75 cents for that book, and I laughed probably more at that than I've laughed at a lot of the big label stuff. And that's not a knock on the big label, but like you said, it just shows that, if you just go for it, it can be pretty awesome. So, highly recommend going to Staple if it comes through. I think it goes to different cities, maybe. But if
I know that it's been here in Austin a lot. I don't know if it goes to other cities as well, but I know that one of their big things is right here in Austin. A lot of their the supporters, a lot of the people that kind of bring it about, Austin Books. You know, I think Dragon's Lair, in some sense, has been a supporter of it, because I know that's where Randy started back before he even was at Rogues. But now they have Rogues in Round Rock, and then Dragon's Lair and Austin Books, who are both in Austin. They've done a lot to bring the folks here. And there's a guy named Uncle Staple who's really cool in a lot of the programming artwork, which I thought was really neat. So who would have thought that you could be such a big thing in like an independent trade publishing type deal like this, that you would have comics drawn of you with a stapler?
he runs around the convention with a bullhorn and is just like yelling stuff. I don't know a lot of the backstory, but it was a really fun convention, and there was a lot of people maybe that aren't represented as much in mainstream comics, and it was really fun and really supportive, and I bought a lot of cool stuff, and next year I'm going to save up and buy a lot more.
Yeah, that's the plan, is to be able to go together as just as individuals for one, but also hopefully get to bring some of the cool stuff that we've got through Globe and Crown, and you know, get to put our own stuff out there as well, and get to talk to people who are trying to do things. And maybe in some small way, we can provide the same kind of encouragement to two dudes like ourselves who are showing up out of the blue, that these guys have provided for us, guys and gals.
Yeah. Maybe y'all will be at the selling stuff at Staple next year too.
So hopefully we'll see you there. Hopefully you'll see us there. And yeah, that'll be exciting.
Okay, so we did it. We recorded the intro. We recorded a segment. We told people what we're about.
Yeah, the whole inaugural podcast now is more or less complete. Our number one issue, if you will. So yeah. A collector's item.
It's you're welcome, world, for having this collector's item beamed straight to your smartphone and or computer.
Yeah, free of charge as well. So, free. You know, it could only go up in value. It could literally Amen. Not cost you anything.
Amen. So we want to say thanks for listening. And we're going to have more podcasts in the future, hopefully a couple a month. And we'll get the release date ironed out. But we're also going to have some published stuff available for sale. So check the website, which is globeandcrown.com. You can find us on Twitter at globecrown. And I think that's it. I just want to, again, reiterate, we're going to be back with more stuff. If you like the vibe of what we're doing, please check back in. You can email us at info@globeandcrown.com or on the contact bar on the website.
Yeah, or feel free to direct message us through the Twitter, little app and all that there. Mm-hmm. I know that you can do that. I've never done it personally, but presumably it's a thing that can be done.
Yes.
So, again, thanks for joining us here. We look forward to bringing back some more stuff, hopefully here in the next couple of weeks, and coming with you at least twice a month for the rest of the time.
Yeah, so signing off, I'm Joey.
I'm Nathan.
Cheers.
Cheers.